بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، وبعد، فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سأصرف عن آياتي الذين يتكبرون في الأرض بغير الحق، وإن يروا كل آية لا يؤمنوا بها، وإن يروا سبيل الرشد لا يتخذوه سبيلا، وإن يروا سبيل الغي يتخذوه سبيلا، ذلك بأنهم كذبوا بآياتنا وكانوا عنها غافلين. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, a great scholar in the annals of Islamic history, nay a tabi'i, was a person by the name of Rabi ibn Khutaym. He was amongst those fortunate individuals who had seen a large galaxy of Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een. Sufficient in the accolade of this individual is that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, Muhaddith Masruq rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned, which Imam Nawawi has captured in his kitab Taqrib, intaha ilmu sahaba ila sitta. He said, you can condense all the knowledge of sahaba and narrow it down to six sahaba. Thumma ilmu sittati ila aliyin wabn Mas'ud. And you can further narrow down the knowledge of all that six sahaba into two. In essence, two sahaba imbibed in their bosom the knowledge that was disseminated from the blessed chest of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his 23 years. So a man with such great accolades like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he said to Rabi ibn Khutaym, لو رآك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأحبك. O Rabi, I had seen the Nabi of Allah and I have seen you. The Nabi of Allah did not see you, nor did you see him. But I can give you this assurance, had he been alive, he would have been very fond of you. He would have been very, very fond of you. What a great comforting, consoling statement to receive from the blessed lips of a Sahabi. Rabi ibn Khutaym rahmatullah alayhi kana qaleel al-kalam. He was a man of few words. Al-mu'minu yaqillu al-kalam wa yakthuru al-amal. Wal-munafiqu yakthuru al-kalam wa yaqillu al-amal. A believer is one whose speech is comprehensive and concise. Dalla wa qalla, to the point, but he performs, he delivers, he conveys, he exhibits. While flip the coin, a munafiq is one who will have this flowery talks, who will have these lengthy deliberations. But when it comes to delivering, I'm afraid there is nothing that really delivers. He is not the one who would walk the talk. So somebody once said to Rabi ibn Khutaym rahmatullah alayhi, Mali la araka ta'ibu ahadan. I've observed you very closely. I have analyzed you microscopically. And I find that you seldom frown on others. You seldom have contention with others. You seldom have a bone to pick with another person. Is it that you are oblivious of the flaws of others? Or is society so good? Is society so good? Or are you so blind? In Bukhari Sharif, in the very beginning, there is a narration where a person said, I met Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu bil Rabada. وَعَلَيْهِ حُلَّهُ عَلَىٰ غُلَامِهِ حُلَّهُ. And master and slave were clad in a common garb. So I looked at this, I said, what is this? Reconcile between this. Has your slave been promoted or have you been demoted? Why are you wearing the same? He said, عَيَّرْتُهُ بِأُمِّهِ. And you can see with reference to Qastalani in the Hashiya of Bukhari, the remarks have also been captured there. That I made a racial slur. I made a comment to him and I taunted him about his mother and his ancestry and about the complexion. You know, because obviously in Islam there is no room for this. Someone said to Luqman Hakim that he was dark skinned. So he said, Ma aqbahu wajhik. That's such a ugly face. So Luqman was a man full of wisdom. He said, أَتَعِيبُ بِهَذَا عَلَى النَّقْشِ أَوْ عَلَى النَّقَّاشِ. Are you objecting on the pattern or the pattern maker? Are you frowning on the design or the designer? I was reading on Sa'id ibn Jubayr rahmatullah alayh, and this just blew me off my balance. They say, كَانَ أَسْوَدَ اللَّوْنِ أَبْيَضَ الْخِصَالِ. كان أسود اللون أبيض الخصال. He was a man with dark complexion but with fair qualities. His skin was dark, his attributes were white. And really what matters is your attributes. أتعيب بهذا على النقش أو على النقاش. Where's the frown? عيرته بأمي. I made a remark. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Aba Dharrin, innaka mru'un fika jahiliya. Abu Dharr, you've embraced the faith, but I kinda get a stench of ignorance emitting from your body. I get this foul smell. I get the stench coming out. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is your brother. And if Allah has put him under your care and your custody, then be kind to him and do not burden him and treat him with respect and dignity. And ever since I have vowed that we will not differentiate or discriminate, and we would clad ourselves in a common garb, leaving the average onlooker perplexed who is the master and who is the slave. I like to make a distinction in everything that I do because I belong to an elite class. I belong to a higher class. So they asked Rabi ibn Khuthaymali, La araka ta'ibu ahada. He said, such an amazing thing. He said, Wayhak, woe be to you, my brother. Thakilatka ummuk, may your mom tear over you. Ma ana an nafsi biradin, fa atafarragu min dhambi ila dhammin nas. Honestly, I am disappointed with myself. I am unhappy with myself. And I am so caught up in my personal misery that it hasn't given me time to look at the wrong of others, never mind magnify it. And then he went on and said this, and it made my hair stand on end. He said, إِنَّ النَّاسَ خَافُ اللَّهَ فِي ذُنُوبِ الْعِبَادِ وَأَمَّنُوهُ عَلَى نُفُوسِهِمْ. He said, the problem today is people are fearing Allah on behalf of the vices of others, but they are not fearing Allah with regards to their personal issues and vices. So I say to you, my brother, you are roaming your gaze, you are flirting women, you are womanizing. My brother, you are dealing in fraudulent deals in your business, commerce and trade. You are not dutiful to your parents. I wouldn't want to die and meet my creator like how you live in your life. Almost suggesting that I'm happy to meet Allah with my deeds. Almost suggesting and implying and making a subtle inference that, hey, you know what, brother, the way you live in your life, I'm not ready to meet the angel of death like this. This is really scary stuff. How do you live? How do you go to sleep by night? How do you go to the Kaaba? How do you live? What am I implying? What am I suggesting that all on my end is fine? And this has really plagued us. It has paralyzed us. And it has destroyed us. So Sheikh Saadi rahmatullah alayhi one day taps his son and awakens him to offer the nocturnal prayer. Right? The prayer of tahajjud. And he taps his son. And I often discuss this here in today's world where we seldom have an opportunity to chat father and son. And if we do get, what portion of that constitutes a healthy religious discussion? How often can we chat and have some healthy dialogue around certain important, integral, vital, important facts of deen, etc.? Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu is in the throes of death, and his son comes to him and he comforts his ailing dad, his dad that is on the verge of passing on. And he says to his father, "Oh my dad, without being insensitive to the pain and the trauma of death, sifli al-maut. Tell me, what is death all about? Because you moving on, nobody will tell me this afterwards, and I will never able to discover this from anyone else." So he says, "Ka'anna jibala ad-dunya fawqa sadri." Ka'anna jibala ad-dunya fawqa sadri. My son, believe me, it's like the mountains of the entire world are resting exclusively on the chest of your dad. And this is Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu. And then he slips into a coma. And then the son is, can you imagine that moment of anxiety, uneasiness, stress? And then when the dad regains his consciousness, he says, "Oh my beloved, my venerable, my honorable, my respectable dad, you were whispering something. If at all it's possible to conclude that sentence of yours, وَكَأَنِّي أَتَنَفَّسُ مِنْ ثِقْبِ الْإِبْرَةِ." And I'm gasping for breath, and I'm trying to breathe from the eye of a needle, but really I'm having difficulty in doing so. So, Shaykh Sadi rahmatullah alayhi taps his son and he says, "Let's pray." So when the son gets up, and he looks around, he says, "Dad, we're praying, but the others are sleeping." So the father says to his son, "If you're going to get up and speak ill of others, then join them and sleep. Then join them. If that's the reason that you're getting up to look at what others are doing and not focus on yourself and turn to your Creator and reform yourself, then do myself and yourself a favor. Hop into the bed and you can sleep." Imam Yazidi and Imam Kisai, two great legends in the field of Qiraat, they meet at a visitor's place and it's the time of Maghrib. So Imam Kisai leads the Maghrib prayer, and in the prayer he errs in the recital of Surah Kafirun. On the completion of the prayer, Imam Yazidi makes an observation and he says, this is the point of reflection. A man whose name is synonymous to Qiraat, a man who is so famous in the field of Qiraat, yet he could err in the recital of Surah Kafirun. Surely it's a wake-up call for all of us. Be it as it may, he took it in his stride. He didn't make such any objections about it. Time moved on and fate had it such that they meet up again. And this time Imam Yazidi is ushered forward and he is told to lead the prayer, only to discover that he errs in the recital of Surah Fatiha. On the completion of the prayer, immediately he realized, and this was the practice of the pious, their internal spirituality was so active that whenever they did a wrong or they intended doing a wrong, they would receive the negative signals from within them. Muhammad ibn Sirin rahmatullah alayhi used to say, "Inna Allah ta'ala idha arada bi'abdin khayran ja'ala lahu wa'idan min qalbihi ya'muruhu wa yanha." When Allah intends good for a person, Allah activates his inner spirituality. Ours have become dead, dormant, inactive. There's no movement in it. What they say, if there's no movement in your account, the bank shuts your account. Why? It's lying dead. There needs to be a flow of money. There needs to be debits running through. There needs to be money coming in and out. So the spirituality is lying so dead, withering, on the verge of collapsing and being extinguished. But when Allah intends good, Allah activates it. And they pick up these distress signals. So when he completed his prayer, he realized that that is the remark I had made to someone else. It has come back to me. And he said, "Ihfaz lisanaka la taqul fatubtala." Harness your tongue. Preserve your tongue. Do not blurt, you will be implicated. Do not blurt. We are living in a society, my brother. If your kids have made it, good luck to you, but you have no guarantee of the generation beyond. So don't speak loud at the child or the son of any person in society. It's extremely trying, it's extremely critical, it's extremely crucial. If things are good in your house, your son is not smoking, he's not on drugs, he's not up to any type of nonsense, thank Allah and cry for those that are in a crisis. But don't sigh with relief and don't blow your horn. And don't trumpet yourself. And don't count your virtues. Someone asked Imam Ghazali, "Masidqul qabih." There's one form of truth that is disliked, is despised. It's true, yet it's deplorable. And what was the answer? Thana'ul mar'i ala nafsih. Thana'ul mar'i ala nafsih. When a person counts his own virtues. As candid as you are, as accurate as you are, as precise as you are, but when you count your own virtues, you collapse in the esteem of Allah. You collapse in the esteem of Allah. A person was sitting in the company of one great scholar, and I've heard this from one of my tutors, may Allah preserve him with afiyah. And he had spent years in his company, and then he thought that now he had taken the bay'ah, and he had spiritually reached those levels of completion and perfection. And then one day, his mentor had told him to deliver a talk, and he conducted the discourse. And on the completion of the discourse, he went to his mentor and he said, please, if there are any areas that need improvement or that need rectification, then feel free to advise me and address me and rectify me. So these were fine people, and they picked up immediately the vibe. He said, okay, so you still need a lot of reformation. You wanted me to compliment you on your talk. You want me to say, mashallah, that was a great delivery. That was an awesome delivery. That was a great talk. That was just a pretext. That was just a front to say that, you know what, admonish me, reproach me, chastise me. But in essence, you were desperately searching for a pat on your back. It's like, where are we, my Allah? Where are we? We are loud about it. We are explicit about it. We are emphatic about it. During the period of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayh, there was a need to appoint the governor of Basra. So he had called Adi ibn Artad. Adi ibn Artad was one of the people of his cabinet. And he said to Adi ibn Artad that I need you to appoint a governor of Basra. The suitable candidates, in my opinion, is the likes of Iyas bin Muawiyah or Qasim bin Rabi'ah. You ain't going to find better than these two. So do me a favor, sit them down and present the need to them, and please see if you can get one of them on board. Now, like the previous honorable scholar alluded to it in his presentation, that when you look at governance from an Islamic eye, then it is a great and a daunting responsibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the Sahaba, الَّذِينَ إِمَّكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ الَّذِينَ إِمَّكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَلِلَّهِ عَاقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ الَّذِينَ those people إِمَّكَّنَّاهُمْ if ever I give them power, authority, dominion on this earth by virtue of the clout of rulership, by virtue of the muscle of leadership, أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ they will establish prayer. أَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ they will enjoin virtue. نَهُوا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ they will prohibit vice. وَلِلَّهِ عَاقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ and to Allah belongs the ultimate in all matters. When this verse was revealed, Sayyidina Uthman said, ثَنَاءٌ قَبْلَ بَلَاءٍ ثَنَاءٌ قَبْلَ بَلَاءٍ Allah is complimenting us before subjecting us. Allah is acknowledging us before testing us. Allah is, you know, reciprocating and saying kind words before putting us to the test. And history bears testimony to the fact that the Khulafa'i Rashidin respectively, when they came and they took the reins of the Islamic Empire, then they exhibited such peace and such execution of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the likes of which cannot be found in the annals of Islamic history. When Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said to his people that Allah will destroy Pharaoh and Allah will reverse the tables and Allah will give you leadership, عَسَىٰ أَيُّهْلِكَ عَدُوَّكُمْ and then what would happen? فَيَنْظُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ when Allah gives you the position, it's not to clap hands and say, finally I got it. Now the spotlight is on you and Allah wants to see how you deliver. Allah wants to see how much can you offer. It's easy to say, make me in charge of this institution. Make me in charge of the affairs of this masjid. make me the custodian. But when you come into power, the Quran says, فَيَنْظُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah wants to see how you deliver. Sayyidina Ubay ibn Ka'b, أَقْرَأُهُمْ Ubay ibn Ka'bin, a man whose name is synonymous to qira'ah. He one day asked Sayyidina Umar, why don't you give me a post during your khilafah? You're not appointing me anywhere. He said, أَخْشَى أَن يُدَنِّسَ دِينَكَ. I'm afraid you have a clean slate. This will tarnish your image. This will compromise the purity of your slate. You're a man with virtue. Imagine a man like Ubay ibn Ka'b in the era of Umar. So anyway, Adi ibn Artad set them down. Iyas ibn Muawiyah, Qasim ibn Rabi'ah. And he said, إِنَّ أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَطَالَ اللَّهُ بَقَاءَهُ أَمَرَنِي أَنْ أُوَلِّي أَحَدَكُمَا قَضَاءَ الْبَصْرَةِ. I've been given the task that I have to inaugurate one of you, and one of you have to be elected as the governor of Basra. فَمَاذَا تَرَيَانَ. Can you people let me know what are you thinking? I would be mobilizing, I would be campaigning, I would be recruiting, I would be calling up to my cronies, my associates, my friends, and the list continues. فَقَالَ كُلُّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا عَنْ صَاحِبِهِ أَنَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهَذَا الْمَنْصَبِ. Each one spoke respectively, not of his rival, but of his brother. Iyas ibn Muawiyah said, listen, my brother Qasim ibn Rabi'ah, you're not going to find better than him, really. Let's not waste time and deliberate and explore and go through the long, tedious task. This is the man. While the same was echoed by Qasim ibn Rabi'ah for his brother Iyas ibn Muawiyah, and when this was the thinking, this ummah was in its glory. Hakim al-Ummah rahimahullah has made many statements which are mind-boggling, but one thing that rings in my ears and I guess will live with me and die with me, he used to say that it is mandatory and obligatory and compulsory for every person to attain and strive for piety. Yet coupled with that, it is equally forbidden to perceive yourself as pious. When I heard this, I said, my Allah, this is a synopsis of deen. That's a summary of deen. So I've got to toil, I've got to exert myself to become pious, but at no point can I entertain or accommodate the thought or the whisper that I am pious. Subhanallah. That's a summary of deen. That is our deen in its entirety. I got to exert, I got to toil, I got to go the extra mile. But hang on, I cannot say that I'm pious. كُلُّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا عَنْ صَاحِبِهِ أَنَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهَذَا الْمَنْصَبِ. No, my brother is a better person. Honestly, he's a... Right? وَذَكَرَ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ وَفَضْلِهِ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَذْكُرُ. And he said, you know what? This is the amazing qualities he has. These are the great qualities he has. Okay? Adi ibn Artad said to both of them, لَنْ تَخْرُجَ مِنْ هَذَا الْمَجْلِسِ حَتَّى تَحْسِمَ هَذَا الْأَمْرَ. Listen, the longer you deliberate, the longer you sit here. The quicker you reconcile, the quicker we terminate this gathering. One of you has got to embrace this post and we can move on. So, Iyas ibn Muawiyah mustered the courage and he said, I have a proposal, I have a tangible option on the table, if you would give it kind consideration. سَلْ عَنِّي وَعَنِ الْقَاسِمِ فَقِيهَيْ الْعِرَاقِ Al-Hasan al-Basri wa Muhammad ibn Sirin. Let's do this here. I am saying, Iyas ibn Muawiyah is saying, I'm saying my brother Qasim is more deserving to become elected. He's saying I am more deserving. Let's refer this case here to two giants and legends that we have that are contemporary scholars. And I'm referring to none other than Muhammad ibn Sirin rahmatullah alayh. Listen to this statement regarding Muhammad ibn Sirin, and I said, wow, this is amazing. Somebody made a remark regarding Muhammad ibn Sirin. He said, مَا رَأَيْتُ رَجُلًا أَفْقَهَ فِي وَرْعِهِ وَلَا أَوْرَعَ فِي فِقْهِهِ مِنْ ibn Sirin. This is so deep. It's so deep. I was flying and I read that. I closed the kitab and I said, I need to digest this. Wallahi, I'm saying in the house of Allah, I was flying. And I read this while I'm flying. I said, this is so profound. It is so great. That it's going to take me time to digest this. Especially in our current context where you can Google a fatwa. مَا رَأَيْتُ رَجُلًا أَفْقَهَ فِي وَرْعِهِ. I didn't see a man who had a greater understanding of jurisprudence in his piety. وَلَا أَوْرَعَ فِي فِقْهِهِ. And nor could I see a man who feared Allah more in executing his ruling than Ibn Sirin. And who was the other person? Hassan Basri. And somebody was asked regarding Hassan Basri, tell me about Hassan Basri. He said, إِنَّهُمْ رُؤٌ سَرِيرُهُ كَعَلَانِيَتِهِ وَقَوْلُهُ كَفِعْلِهِ إِذَا أَمَرَ بِمَعْرُوفٍ كَانَ أَعْمَلَ النَّاسِ بِهِ وَإِذَا نَهَى عَنْ مُنْكَرٍ كَانَ أَتْرَكَ النَّاسِ لَهُ وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُهُ مُسْتَغْنِيًا عَنِ النَّاسِ زاهدا بما في أيديهم ورأيت الناس محتاجين إليه طالبين ما عنده. He said, you want to know Hassan Basri? Absolute harmony between his external and private life. What you've seen of him, that's exactly the man behind the scenes. Behind the closed doors in his private house, if you ask his wife and you ask him as a regular musalli of the masjid, there will be harmony. It has been synchronized. It's on a common level. There is no inconsistency. There is no discrepancy. There is no contradiction between the two. إِنَّهُمْ رُؤُنْ سَرِيرُهُ كَعَلَانِيَتِهِ وَقَوْلُهُ كَفِعْلِهِ. He utters the same. He delivers the same. إِذَا أَمَرَ بِمَعْرُوفٍ. When he enjoins virtue, he implements it first. When he forbids vice, he abstains first. وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُهُ مُسْتَغْنِيًا عَنِ النَّاسِ. I never seen him with a begging bowl before anyone. Yet I seen the creation converging in their numbers and multitudes at his door. When the person was speaking of Hassan Basri like this, the questioner said, حَسْبُكَ يَا خَالِدْ. حَسْبُكَ يَا خَالِدْ. Khalid, that's enough. كَيْفَ يَظِلُّ قَوْمٌ فِيهِمْ مِثْلُ هَذَا. How can a nation ever deviate whose leaders are like this? How can a nation ever deviate when the pilot of the vessel and the leader of the captain of the ship is a man who embodies such rich attributes? Now look at what did Iyas ibn Muawiyah do. He said, do me a favor, take this question, who's more deserving, go and bounce it off Hassan Basri or Muhammad ibn Sirin. And what was his vision? وَكَانَ الْقَاسِمُ يَزُورُهُمَا وَيَزُورَانِهِ. His brother, that was Qasim ibn Rabi'ah, and I use that passionately, brother, and not biological. In Arabic they say, رُبَّ أَخٍ لَمْ تَلِدْهُ أُمُّكَ. رُبَّ أَخٍ لَمْ تَلِدْهُ أُمُّكَ. In life, there are many people who are no less than a brother to you. It's just that your mother hasn't given birth to them. Otherwise, they are brothers to you. رُبَّ أَخٍ لَمْ تَلِدْهُ أُمُّكَ. And I want to acknowledge my brother Riyaz, who's my host here in Bolton. He's really a brother to me and his family. May Allah reward him handsomely. Every time I come here, he goes the extra mile in making my stay comfortable. Ya Allah, reward him and make it easy for him. So, رُبَّ أَخٍ لَمْ تَلِدْهُ أُمُّكَ. There are many a people whom your mom has not given birth to. Right? But they are no less than a brother to you. So, I passionately use that in my inference and reference to say that his brother. Now, what was the vision and the foresight? What was he alluding to? His brother Qasim ibn Rabi'ah was closely connected to these two scholars. So he consciously referred it to the mufti and the jurors to whom his brother was associated. And he didn't say, no, wait, I'll call my scholar. If that's your mufti, I'll get my mufti on board. Wait, hang on. I'll phone India. No. Look at the thinking. My Allah, this was an error of ours. This was a thinking of ours. When each man perceived the next man to be greater. I often quote this here, and I read it in one kitab. A person said, I consider everybody superior to myself. When asked why, he said, because I know I sin, and I assume you sin. Wow. My brother, you are better than me. How do you know that? Surely, fallibility is intrinsic to mortality. As a mortal, you are fallible. That's how Allah has created us. Every human, every mortal is fallible. He is prone to sin. لِأَنَّنِي عَلَى نَفْسِي مِنْ يَقِينٍ وَعَلَى النَّاسِ مِنْ ظَنٍ. You're insane, so I'm sure you sin. I guess behind the scenes, nobody is sinless. I don't assume I sin, I know I sin. And ironically, I perpetrate an offense. I condone my offense. I justify my vice. And my brother commits that offense. And I said, how evil can people do that wrong? The precise wrong that I'm doing. At its least, I'll drop my gaze and modestly walk away and say, Allah, as you've exposed him, don't expose me, my Allah. Please don't expose me. But I'll have the audacity to blow my trumpet and blow my horn as if Allah's camera is not on me. As if Allah's eye is not on me. Ya ayyuhal insanu ma gharraka bi rabbika al-kareem. Oh man, what has deceived you about your kind, Allah? In Madarikul Tanzeel, under this ayah, it's amazing. The aqwal of the pious Salafus Salihin have been mentioned. And each one say, oh Allah, gharrani. I've been deceived because of your grace. I've been deceived because of your respite. I've been deceived because of your clemency, Allah. Because you've just been allowing me and you've just been camouflaging and it's just happening and happening. So I'm really getting deceived. I'm good. I'm really getting deceived that, no, wait, hang on, I am good. This is serious soul searching that we need to do with ourselves. So what did Iyas ibn Muawiyah do? He said, let's refer it to those two scholars. And which two scholars? With whom his brother had great allegiance. وَإِيَاسٌ لَا تَرْبِتُهُ بِهِمَا رَابِطًا. And Iyas ibn Muawiyah per se didn't have any close association with them. He didn't have any close relation. Not that he was averse to them. Not that he was hostile to them. But they just didn't have. Like one of my scholars used to mention, that it's not always that if you don't get along with a person, it equates hostility. Musa and Khidr alayhima min Allahi as-salatu wa taslimat. They were no enemies, there was just adam ittifaq. There was no enmity, there was just adam. Hadha firaqu bayni wa baynik. And I'm not going into the scholastic and all the explanation that the Quran has spoken about. But you know what, yourself and me, we're just going to gel in this relation. So we're going to terminate with dignity. So sometimes you don't get along too well with a person, provided you make salam. Imam Ghazali said, if you make salam to a person, then you are outside the warning of tarkul kalam. You are outside the warning of to sever ties with a person. If you make salam, then you have not severed ties with a person. So when Qasim ibn Rabi'ah heard this, and he understood the foresight of his brother, he didn't say, okay, let's go to Muhammad ibn Sirin and let's shop a fatwa from him and get an opinion from him and it would be obviously favorable for me. Immediately he retorted. And what did he say? He said, لا تسأل عني وعن إياس أحدا. Why are you going to go and sit them down, get an appointment with them? That's a tedious task. That's a long order. It's a tall order. فَوَاللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرًا. I swear by that Allah that there's no deity but him. إِنَّ إِيَاسًا أَفْقَهُ مِنِّي فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ وَأَعْلَمُ بِالْقَضَى. I swear in the majesty of Allah, my brother Iyas is more well-versed than I am. and he is more skilled in terms of judgment than I. فَإِن كُنْتُ كَاذِبًا فَمَا يَحِلُّ لَكَ أَن تُوَلِّيَنِي الْقَضَاءَ وَأَنَا أَقْتَرِفُ الْكِذْبَ وَإِن كُنْتُ صَادِقًا فَمَا يَجُوزُ لَكَ أَن تَعْدِلْ عَنِ الْفَاضِلِ إِلَى الْمَفْضُلِ. If I'm speaking the truth, then you would be sinful to appoint an inferior person over a superior. And if I'm speaking a lie, how dare you make a liar a judge? If I'm speaking a lie, I'm saying we go the extra mile to bring it onto me and deny another person. And they went the extra mile to take it off themselves, reduce their accountability on the day of Qiyamah. And we are prepared to jeopardize and answer for so much on the day of Qiyamah because of the dealings and the responsibility that comes with that in the position in which we are. And if you look at the heading that was chosen for today's discourse, we spoke about monitoring spirituality, right? People are constantly monitoring their blood pressure, their sugar, their diabetes. They check in this year. I come from a family where, you know what, there's diabetes. I'm genetically predisposed to this year. I've got to be constantly monitoring this year. But how about إِيَّاكَ أَن تُصْبِحْ? What did the Prophet ﷺ say to Anas radiallahu anhu? Oh Anas, إِنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ أَن تُمْسِي وَتُصْبِحْ وَلَيْسَ فِي قَلْبِكَ غِشٌ لِأَحَدٍ مِّنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَفْعَلْ. Oh Anas, do me a favor, you want to monitor your spirituality morning and evening and make sure that it doesn't harbor any discord for any Muslim. Morning and evening, look in your heart if all is fine. If you've done that, then surely you have revived one of my practices. And if you've revived my practice, then you will be with me in the gardens of Jannah. We monitor in everything else and we're almost complacent. We've sighed with relief that all is fine in terms of my personal condition. Now look at Iyas ibn Muawiyah. He comes forward. He says, أَيُّهَا الْأَمِيرِ إِنَّكَ جِئْتَ بِرَجُلٍ وَدَعَوْتَهُ إِلَى الْقَضَى فَأَوْقَفْتَهُ عَلَى شَفِيرِ جَهَنَّمْ فَنَجَّى نَفْسَهُ مِنْهَا بِيَمِينٍ كَاذِبَةٍ لَا يَلْبَثُ أَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرَ اللَّهَ مِنْهَا وَيَنْجُو نَفْسَهُ مِمَّا يَخَافُ. He said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, O Adi ibn Artad, can I have the last word? Please go for it. My good brother has said some really flowery language and lavish praises. The reality of the matter is, he's a very pious person, but Allah forgive him, today he has spoken a lie. Right? He's a very, very pious man, but today the man has erred grossly. But I have no doubt he will be repenting from this mistake of his as well. Wow! My Allah, these were humans of a different caliber. They took every step to reconcile with the flaws of others and to find an explanation and a justification and a pardon for it. That no, wait. He will find a way out. What did he say? My brother is a noble man, but today he has spoken a lie. I'm reminded of the hadith of Bukhari Sharif, where Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says, I had some wealth of zakat kept at home. فَأَتَانِ آتٍ, an intruder intrudes and invades my abode, and he starts stealing the wealth. I apprehend and intercept him, and فَشَكَى حَاجَةً وَعِيَالًا فَرَحِمْتُهُ فَخَلَّيْتُ سَبِيلَهُ. He gives me this real pitiful story. I'm battling, I'm grappling below the bread line, abject poverty, things are tough, it's a credit crunch, economic crisis, long story, late hour of the night. I pitied his state and I told him, take it and go. In the morning, I meet up with the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before I could bounce it off him, he said, مَا فَعَلَ أَسِيرُكَ الْبَارِحَ يَا أَبَا هُرَيْرَ. Abu Huraira, what about that character who came last night? I'm like, wow. Yeah, he was there, O Nabi of Allah. شَكَى حَاجَ وَعِيَالَ فَرَحِمْتُهُ فَخَلَّيْتُ سَبِيلَهُ. You know, I cry, and I've said it in many of my discourses. And I hope and I pray and I wish and I implore Allah that it can stimulate within us the passion to read Quran and Sunnah. Read these ahadith. These are not fairy tales. These are not fabricated stories. These are rich in their meaning. These are profound in their words. These are the words of Muhammad ibn Abdullah alayhi salatu min Allahi wa taslimat. They encompass every dimension of our life. If only we can identify and relate and navigate through these prophetic advices. But alas, the ummah finds itself in a pitiful state, in an appalling condition, where it would peruse through every unsavory literature, yet seldom lay its hand on the prophetic teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya la fasad al-dhawq, ya la su'il ikhtiyar. Ya la fasad al-dhawq ila Allah al-mushtaka. We cry to Allah that we've lost our taste buds. We cry to Allah that we've lost our passion. So anyway, the next day the Nabi of Allah said, أَمَا إِنَّهُ قَدْ كَذَبَكَ وَسَيَعُودُ. Abu Huraira, he's a liar, and he will be back. So the next day, رَسَدْتُهُ. I ambushed him, because I knew the Nabi of Allah had given me the signal. And when he came, I apprehended him. And he gave me the long, sad, usual story. And I said, hey, hang on, you know what, you're running with that same story. I pitied him, I released him. I went to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, said, Abu Huraira, the same thing's going to happen again. The same thing. The third time I apprehended him, I said, today I'm not going to release you because this is an ongoing thing. It's unending. You're relentless. You're just moving on and on. He said, okay, Abu Huraira, can I negotiate a deal with you? If I teach you something, you release me. And I often interject and I call onto my listeners that look at Sahaba. They were even ready to learn from thieves. Sahaba were so desperate to learn, to improve, to better, that this was a negotiation. This was a tangible offer on the table. You make a reasonable offer to me, my brother. That in that odd hour of the night, the intruder is saying to Abu Huraira, and who's Abu Huraira? Does he know less? Is he short of knowledge? Is he uneducated? Has he not been schooled? Hang on. In Islam, there isn't a man like that in the field of hadith. إِذَا أَوَيْتَ إِلَىٰ فِرَاشِكَ. When you retire to your bed, then read Ayat al-Kursi, and nobody would harass you. Trust me, even the devil won't come close to you. I said, okay, you've taught me something great. I take it seriously, and he releases him. When he comes back to the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he narrates the sequence of events, and I tie it up with the words that I was saying. What did Iyas ibn Muawiyah say? He said that my brother is pious, but today he spoke a lie. Here the Nabi of Allah said, أَمَا إِنَّهُ قَدْ صَدَقَكَ وَهُوَ كَذُوبٌ. أَمَا إِنَّهُ قَدْ صَدَقَكَ وَهُوَ كَذُوبٌ. Abu Huraira, this man is a liar, but today he's spoken the truth. Wow. This man is a liar, right? If you know Sifat al-Mushabba in basic Arabic, you would know كَذُوبٌ. He's a perpetual liar. Lying is part of his nature. He speaks all the time. But today the man has spoken the truth, and what he said is absolutely accurate. I'm like, okay, O Nabi of Allah, just for your information, to appease your curiosity, to put your anxiety to bed, do you know with who you were chatting for the last 3 nights? I don't have the faintest idea. I don't have a clue. That is the devil himself. When he said the devil won't come close to you, he meant he won't come close to you. Subhanallah. But just look at the passion in Sahaba to learn. Just look at the desire in them to learn. I read about Ata ibn Abi Rabah, the great African scholar, right? Regarding whom Imam Abu Hanifa said, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَفْقَهْ مِنْ حَمَّادٍ وَلَا أَجْمَعْ لِلْعُلُومِ مِنْ عَطَىٰ. From my scholars Hamad, I've never seen a person more skilled in jurisprudence than my honorable, venerable teacher Hamad rahimahullah. وَلَا أَجْمَعْ لِلْعُلُومِ. And I never seen a man who would imbibe more knowledge in his bosom and chest than Ata ibn Abi Rabah, rahmatullah alayh. Ata ibn Abi Rabah said, sometimes a person would narrate a hadith to me, and I heard the hadith before he was born also. Yet I would listen to it as if I'm hearing it the first time. وَلَقَدْ سَمِعْتُهُ قَبْلَ أَن يُولَدْ. I would listen, I have heard this hadith not before he started studying. Somebody, I know this, man. I've heard this all, man. Move on, expedite. fast track, get to the point. That's why you and I are deprived, we never practice. That is why we never practice. I would have heard the hadith before the man was born, but I would give him an attentive hearing, as if it's the first time I'm listening. So coming back to the point here, he said, Adi ibn Artat, my brother is a good man, but today he's spoken a lie. And I know he will be asking Allah for forgiveness. In essence, you've brought him on the edge of hell. أَوْقَفْتَهُ عَلَى شَفِيرِ جَهَنَّمْ. This is daunting, this is serious. So نَجَّى نَفْسَهُ مِنْهَا بِيَمِينٍ كَاذِبًا. He thought the only way out is make a false oath and after it make tawbah. When Adi ibn Artat heard this, he said, إِنَّ مَنْ يَفْهَمُ مِثْلَ فَهْمِكَ هَذَا جَدِيرٌ بِالْقَبَى. You know what? While he was brilliant, you were awesome to understand his brilliance. While he was amazing, but it takes another caliber of an individual to tap into his wisdom. ثُمَّ وَاللَّهُ قَضَاءَ الْبَصْرَى. He said, I'm not going on any deeper here. My head is spinning and this is too intricate. You know what? You are going to be made the judge. The point I'm saying, and with whatever has been said in between the sentences as well, is that really, brothers, we need to reform ourselves. We need to look deep down in our own heart. Imam Shafi rahimahullah said, in one of his most amazing poetry, the gist of which is, he said, that a sick person who's got a chronic condition, his own condition preoccupies him, that inadvertently he becomes oblivious of the state of others. So he's not deliberately ignoring others. If a person is wheeled into a clinic, and may Allah keep us with afia and good health, and may Allah preserve us and never take us to a hospital or clinic or anything of that nature. If a person is taken into a ward, into a clinic, into a hospital, and you visit him and then you said, you know what, apparently there was another patient brought into the adjacent ward in the trauma unit, and then he was discharged. He says, you know what, I don't know anything. They've put an infusion here. They're administering a drip here. Intravenously, they're giving me this here. This physician, that's my child. I have no clue what's happening. Inadvertently, I'm oblivious because I'm so preoccupied with my own state. But the day the patient starts saying, you know what, this doctor is not doing his job. The lights were burning whole night. This window, you know what, you need to discharge him. You need to release this man quickly. He's a well, healthy, hale man. He needs to go. The day you come into the masjid and you're saying he's doing this and that one is up to this, then really, my brother, you're a cured man. And are you a cured man? Then good luck, I'm ready to plead, I'm ready to swear allegiance to you. And as long as you're so preoccupied, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi said, فَإِشْتِغَالُكَ بِطَلَبِ الْمَخْلَسِ عَنِ الْهَلَاكِ أَهَمْ مِنْ إِشْتِغَالِكَ بِنَوَادِرِ الْفُرُوعِ. It is more important for you to preoccupy yourself in seeking deliverance from your wickedness than to sit and chat and gossip about others. And I categorically and very consciously use the word inadvertently. I am not suggesting or advocating that we become oblivious consciously of the crisis of the ummah. That's the last and that's unintended. I'm saying when you are in your own pain, inadvertently, unintentionally, because so you caught up. But the fact that I have time to sit and moan and groan and object and speak and comment, and these are loud indications that I'm a cured person and I need to be discharged. And I'm afraid, I doubt any one of us are truly cured. The condition continues until we meet our Lord. I'm just going to share with you one quotation of Imam Ghazali and then bring it to a culmination and a conclusion. In his writings, amongst many things that he has mentioned, he speaks about the same aspect where you need to realize your own weakness and view the next person as better, right? So he says, in ra'ayta saghiran, when you see a child, then you should say to yourself, هذا لم يعص الله وأنا عصيته فلا شك أنه خير مني. This is a boy, he's innocent, he's sinless, he hasn't reached the age of puberty. So without doubt, this lad is closer to Allah than I am, because I have so many demerits on my slate. I've done so much wrong, while this child hasn't committed any offense. So undoubtedly, he is closer to Allah than I am. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ كَبِيرًا. I'm reminded of one incident that I read in Tanwir al-Adhan. A tafsir in the footnotes, it's mentioned there that Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah, Ghaliban was Abdullah ibn Mubarak, or a great saint. He was one day walking, or Malik bin Dinar, if my memory serves me correct. Malik bin Dinar was walking, and there was a boy playing with some lads. So he just walked by, he just tagged on. And then for a little while he thought, no wait, hang on, that's a bit proud of you, that's been arrogant. Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yusallimu ala sibyan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa would take our time and greet the children. Ya Aba Batn, inna naghdu li ajli salam. Ya Aba Batn, Allama Nawawi has mentioned the narration there in Salam in Riyadh al-Salihin. Right? We go specially to the marketplace to greet the people. And that was the practice of Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah. Kana idha ishtadda al-duha, when it would be forenoon, yanzilu ala suq al-Basra. He would descend in the marketplace of Basra. Fayusallimu an-nas. He would then greet the people. وَيُوَزِّعُ الْبَسَمَاتِ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And then he would just give this cheerful look to everyone. وَيُمَازِحُهُمْ. And he would lightheartedly interact with them. فَلِذَلِكَ أَحَبُّوهُ وَحَشَرُوا فِي دَرْسِهِ. And they say this was the catalyst in attracting the largest numbers to his discourses. So he would go to the marketplace, he would humble himself, interact with the people, be light with them, be cheerful, have a bit of humor, and then just lighten people up. And really today people are in a depressed mode. I gave a dedicated talk on this very recently, and that's the aspect of humor and banter in the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Pleasantries in the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because there is this myth that needs to be vehemently refuted, and that is Islam is about absolute monotony and rigidity and inflexibility, and it's worship exclusive, as if it's a sin to smile, only to know it's the greatest form of charity. That, no, brother, you're a Muslim, how can you smile? And the Nabi of Allah is returning from a campaign, and Jabir is just moving away. Hey Jabir, hang out, what's up? Oh Nabi of Allah, I've got married. Wow. Bikran am thayyiban. Was she young or was she old? Was she previously married or was she as a spinster? No, she was kind of married. Halla jariya. Halla jariya. Tula'ibuha wa tula'ibuk. Jabir, you young, I'm sure you could have done better. Wow, my Nabi is returning from a campaign, a pinnacle of spirituality, nobility to its apex, to its climate, to its height. Right? We need to exhibit the true Islam and not the perceived Islam. Some brothers almost think it's like a sin. Surely we need to moderate it, we need to regulate it, we need to strike the fine balance. And I'm not saying loosely and casually, we need to regulate it within the parameters of Sharia as the teachings and the dictates of the Sharia. But I'm saying it has its meaning, it has its meaning. Sayyidina Umar said, إِنِّي لَيُعْجِبُنِي أَن يَكُونَ الرَّجُلُ فِي أَهْلِهِ مِثْلَ الصَّبِي. It fascinates me to see a man at home, he can drop himself to a regular kid in the house. And he becomes a child amongst children, a kid amongst kids. فَإِذَا وُجِدَ مِنْهُ حَاجَ بُغِيَ رَجُلًا. And then when it's crunch time, he instantly evolves and matures to a robust man. He can be a kid, and then let it be crunch time, and he's a different man. In English they say there's a kid in every adult, right? Some adults, when they get busy with chocolates, you wonder who's a child. You wonder who's a child. No, I've just got a weakness amongst many others. So anyway, Abdullah bin Mubarak, he comes back. Malik bin Dinar, rahimahullah, comes back. This is again, he comes back. Chastises himself. Says, sorry, young boy, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. How are you, my boy? Wa alaykum salam. How are you doing, uncle? Great, great. Started chatting. He's seen there was atharul faham, intelligence in the boy. Those days, when they sense maturity, they spoke faith. Today, if you say the boy is smart, he's calculated, he's methodical, then he's asking him, what's the score, who's playing who? He's up to scratch. He's abreast. His hands on. His fingers on the pulse. No. He said, I engaged the young boy. I said, مَا الْفَرْقُ بَيْنَ الْعَقْلِ وَالنَّفْسِ Young man, you want to tell me what's the difference between the human ego and the human intellect? He said, نَفْسُكَ الَّتِي مَنَعَتْكَ عَنِ السَّلَامِ وَعَقْلُكَ الَّذِي حَرَّضَكَ عَلَيْهِ You really want to know the answer, uncle? I'm like, yeah, tell me. He said, your ego is what provoked you to ignorance and arrogance and told you ignore him as a boy and walk away. And your intellect is what told you retract and greet him because the Nabi of Allah greeted children as well. Tanweer al-Adhan, you can reference it there. It's not a thumbsuck. إِذَا رَأَيْتَ صَغِيرًا When you see a young boy, what do you say? You say to yourself, هذا لم يعصي الله. He hasn't disobeyed Allah. فلا شك أنه خير مني. Most definitely. وإذا رأيت كبيرا when you see an old man, then what do you say? Oh, he's so old, he's sinning long before I was born. No, you say to yourself, هذا عبد الله قبلي. هذا عبد الله قبلي. فلا شك أنه خير مني. This man is worshipping Allah before I'm born. How dare I ever consider myself superior to him? How dare this chacha is coming to the masjid for the last 40 years? وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ عَالِمًا When you see a scholar, هَذَا عَلِمَ مَا لَمْ أَعْلَمْ وَبَلَغَ مَا لَمْ أَبْلُغْ فَكَيْفَ أَكُونُ مِثْلَهُ Allah has conferred upon him the entire Quran and Allah has given him so many ahadith and Allah has exposed him to so many teachings, and I'm grappling and battling with the basic and the elementary teachings, what an audacity for me to say I am better than the scholars of our time. Right? One of my scholars used to say, and may Allah preserve him, he said that many of our youngsters who have memorized the Quran, بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ وَمَا يَجَحَدُ بِآيَاتِنَا إِلَّا الظَّالِمُونَ Many of them are such that if you had to have a chat with their parents, then they would say, this son of mine is so clumsy, he's so negligent, you know, I will never leave the house keys with him. I will never leave the car keys with him. And then he used to pause and say, your perception of his negligence and his careless nature is such that you would not leave him with your car keys. But Allah has seen him through a different eye, that Allah has left his old Quran with him. Allah is comfortable. And that's a serious awakening call to the man who's carrying the Quran, to know the daunting responsibility on your shoulders. And you, who are calculated, who are meticulous, who are measured, who are methodical, Allah has not yet allowed you to memorize one Yasin Sharif. Right? The last 10 years you're reading it and you still, you know what, distorting and violating the rules of Tajweed. And I'm not condemning, read, improve, learn and better. I'm saying, it brings a whole new spin to who is competent and who is incompetent. It brings a new definition. So, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ عَالِمًا When you see the scholar, هَذَا عَلِمَ مَا لَمْ أَعْلَمْ Allah gave him so much knowledge. وَبَلَغَ مَا لَمْ أَبْلُغْ And he's reached another level. فَكَيْفَ أَكُونُ مِثْلَهُ وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ جَاهِلًا And when you see the ignorant and you see the layman, then you say, هَذَا عَصَى اللَّهَ بِجَهْلٍ وَأَنَا عَصَيْتُ اللَّهَ بِعِلْمٍ فَحُجَّةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيَّ أَكْبَرُ Shame, this man has sinned because he knows no better. But I am sinning knowing that it is wrong. So Allah will punish me much more than him. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى عِلْمٍ وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى عِلْمٍ وَخَتَمَ عَلَى سَمْعِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَجَعَلَ عَلَى بَصَرِهِ غِشَاوَةً فَمَنْ يَهْدِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ اللَّهِ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ Have you seen the one whom Allah deviates despite his knowledge? So هَذَا عَصَى اللَّهِ. This man is ignorant. I guess he doesn't know better. وَأَنَا عَصَيْتُ اللَّهَ بِعِلْمٍ فَحُجَّةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيَّ أَكْبَرٍ. The implications upon me will be catastrophic on the day of Qiyamah. It will be much more severe. And then he goes on to say, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ كَافِرًا. When you see an infidel and you see a disbeliever, then you have no authority to sigh to relief. But you will say, عَسَى أَن يُسْلِمْ. It's likely and it's highly possible that Allah will favor this individual with faith and he will revert to Islam prior to his death. وَأَمَّا أَنَا فَعَسَىٰ أَن يُضِلَّنِي اللَّهِ. And it's highly possible that Allah will deny and deprive me of my iman. فَيَكُونُ غَدًا هُوَ مِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ وَأَكُونُ أَنَا مِنَ الْمُبْعَدِينَ. And he will be then standing by the throne of Allah on the day of Qiyamah. And Allah forbid I could be hurled into hell and be part of the dwellers and the occupants of hell. May Allah save us all. On these few words I end. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to internalize whatever was said. And that we reform ourselves, we rehabilitate ourselves, we change ourselves. And we add value to society. If I can go back in my family life, in, you know, Allama Rumi rahmatullah alayhi said, and perhaps this is a good note to conclude on. He said, yesterday I was clever, so I was changing the world. And today I'm wise, so I'm starting with myself. Yesterday I was clever, so I was changing the world. And today I'm wise, so I'm starting with myself. وَصَلِّ اللَّهُمَّ وَسَلِّمْ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.